Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. God is good. Our children's ministry, Miracle Land, is having a very special activity right now. Keep them in prayer as we're in church here. There's a lot of staff out there with them right now. That's why it seems a little emptier today than last Sunday. But they're in church. They're doing church. And let's pray that God will bless all of those children that are up there. Amen. I'd like for you to pray this week that God would direct your faith. Next Sunday, with the help of the Lord, we're going to do our global missions faith promise commitments. And last year, between both Reach America and Florida Sud, we gave $79,000. Praise God. And I'm praying that this year we can give 100,000. I believe we can. If all of us get involved, it can be done. We have 43 nations where we have Apostolic Assembly presence. And this year, well, last week I was kind of surprised. Well, I was very surprised when I get a call and was asked to join the general board meeting. As you know, I'm no longer part of the general board. And I was wondering why they were asking me to join under Zoom. To my surprise, they were calling to ask me if I was willing to supervise the European nations. And I didn't ask time to pray about it. I just said yes. Yes. And we are in 8 European nations, and we believe that God wants to double that in these next 4 years. And it takes finances to get missionaries out there and help the work of the Lord. So pray about that. Pray about God increasing your faith. Let it be a divine increase. I said, let it be a divine increase. Yes. At New Life, we have 4 purposes. We are a cell church, and I know I have the gizmo here. We used to call them the thingamajiggets, the whatchamacallits, the doodah. There you go. It is here. Amen. Just had to find it. It was stuck in the you-know-where. But I'd like for us to first read our yearly verses. If you haven't yet, let's commit these to memory, okay? Everybody together. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And if you don't have any children yet, well, he might give you children this year. Because God wants to bless you as well. These are our New Life's 4 purposes. Grow in relationship with God. Grow in relationship with each other. Grow leaders, and grow numerically so that we can continue to multiply in the church. Today, the message that I will be preaching to you is in that first category, grow in relationship with God. And I want to say a couple of statements here. First, I want to publicly thank a young pastor named John Apodaca that sent me a book this week. One of those books that's kind of hard to put down after you start reading it. And there was two statements, a lot of statements, especially now that I've learned how to type without using my fingers but dictating. It makes it a lot easier. But there's a couple of statements I like to make that were written, are written by Jonathan Lehman. It says, the local church is the authority on earth that Jesus has instituted to officially affirm my Christian life and yours. Now, we live in a Western world, and the idea of kingdom is very foreign. We like democracy. Yeah, of the people, by the people, for the people. Kind of like the Laodicean church, which is what Laodicea means. It says the people govern. But that concept is so foreign to the Bible. It's okay, I only got two or three amens. That's okay. The next statement that I like to read, it says, instead of starting with the idea of a church as a volunteer or a voluntary association, which is where most of America starts, we need to start with the idea of it as the people of a kingdom. We are a people of the kingdom. And every kingdom has a king. King Jesus. Our king is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I'll just let you chomp on that for a while. I want to preach to you today on these two subjects. I was tossed between both of them, so I just put them both on. Glorify yourself in my life, Lord, and increase fruit in my life, Lord. Turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, then verses 22 through 24. I'll be reading it to you in the NIV. The first two verses, and then I'm going to switch to the New King James Version of the Bible. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? In Genesis 30, 22, verse 22 through 24. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. Aren't you glad that God never forgets your prayer? Hopefully by the end, more people will clap. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, The Lord shall add to me another son. What was she saying? Oh, I like this. I can get used to this. I believe God is going to continue giving me more fruit in my life. Lord Jesus, today I pray that your name would be glorified. Thank you because you've made your presence known. Thank you for everybody that has shown up this morning. And we thank you for those that are viewing us online. We pray that you speak to us. Grant us to be able to speak your word with anointing, with power, and that you may transform our way of thinking first and then our way of life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Make sure that if you drop things, to buy good covers. We often used to say a statement, and the church would repeat it. It says, I don't go to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. And the church in the New Testament went to church. Well, they went to church services. Amen. Now, there's a connection between the verses I just read to you in the Old Testament with this verse, these verses I'm going to read to you in the New Testament. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Bearing much fruit is proof that you are my disciples. These things, verse 11, I have spoken to you, Jesus says, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, may be complete. Jesus made a statement three times when he talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And when he talked about the subject of repentance, and he said, there is joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. And he says, more joy than 99 who don't need to repent. So if something happens in heaven, every time somebody repents of their sins, is baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking another tongue, something happens in heaven. There is a party in heaven. There is joy in the presence of the angels. Hallelujah. Jesus was saying, there's nothing that brings me more joy than when somebody repents and gives their life to me and they become a very fruitful disciple of mine. Nothing brings me more joy. Then he says, I have written you these things so that my joy. Amen. There's a lot of things that get us happy. There's a lot of occurrences that will bring joy. He says, but he wants his joy so that our joy may be complete. Today, about 6 p.m., in Philadelphia, there's going to be one team that's going to have a lot of happiness. Amen. And by the way, if you prayed about it, you misused your time because God doesn't care. Might as well say it. I mean, it's become an idol. Why do you think they do these activities on a Sunday? I mean, you can tune me out right now if you'd like. That's okay. But it's the truth. Jesus could care less who wins. And he could care less the way they express their happiness or what they call joy. And he is very interested in the joy that we have. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me, so the world can't take it away. Oh, amen. It's a perfect Sunday to preach this, everybody. It amazes me that even preachers on Facebook will post feeling sad. My team lost. We'll win it next year. Get over it. Come on, everybody. There are promotions for which you were not picked. Get over it. That has nothing to do with the completeness of your joy. Oh, it'll bring happiness. But if you want your joy to be full, you need the joy of the Lord in your life. For it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. And that word is my fort. Yeah. It's not necessarily my muscles. It's really my defense. The joy of the Lord will keep you when you're grieving over a lost loved one. The joy of the Lord will keep you when you're sad, when you weren't given the raise that you wanted. The joy of the Lord is going to see you through, even when you weren't the one that was picked. I told you that I was going to be preaching a little bit about Joseph, but it was too much to preach in one time. And one of the reasons I sit down to preach right now is because I want to have enough strength to finish. And if I stand up, I'll be done in 20 minutes. And I know you'd be happy. But my joy won't be full. But let me talk to you a little bit about Joseph, okay? The name Joseph means remover or increaser, according to Easton's Bible Dictionary. Most of your Bible dictionaries will just use the word increaser or one that increases. But when I saw Easton's definition, it made a lot of sense to me. It says, and I'll get to that in a little bit right now. Now, Joseph was the elder son of the two that Jacob had with Rachel, according to Genesis chapter number 30. When he was born, Rachel saw him as an answer to prayer. And I need to say this, that if you want to be a productive, fruitful saint of God, it's not going to come by technique. Although we do need organization. But it's not going to come by systems. And we do need systems to grow. But it's going to come by the power of the Holy Ghost and faith in His Word. So, Rachel had been praying. Rachel felt that she was second rate because she didn't have any children. It was a reproach in that time for a lady not to have children. And she felt that. She felt the criticism. But God didn't forget her. God didn't forget her prayers. Oh, I'm so glad you go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and you'll find out that God stores all of our prayers. Don't think He hasn't forgotten, that He has forgotten or that He hasn't answered. Remember, God sometimes answers yes. Sometimes He says no. And sometimes He just says, go slow. Take your time. Hallelujah. God wanted her to have children, but it was going to be at His time. So, in Joseph's life, you can see how God removes and increases. Often, removing first to increase later. I'm going to be preaching to you for the next few minutes that God has to work on us. He's got to work on me. Before He can give me some divine increase, He's got to do some divine takeaways. The Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, for he was the son of his old age. That's not why Che was named Jose. Amen. That was my wife's doing. Says, and he proved that he loved him more by making him a coat of many colors. You can read about that in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. What made that important? It's how the noblemen dress their children. In other words, all the other ones, they knew that they didn't come up to the same level as far as Jacob was concerned. So when Joseph was 16, 17 years old, he was hated by his brothers because they were jealous. Ooh, be careful with jealousy. There's a difference between envy and jealousy. In jealousy, you feel replaced. Envy, you want what doesn't belong to you. They hated him. They couldn't talk peacefully to him. I'm pretty sure that when they said, "Here comes that dreamer," it was said in a derogatory manner. Now, all of us grew up with nicknames. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. I used to tell some of the parents, "Would you please stop calling your son by that nickname? Because he's going to grow up thinking that that is what he is. And one day he's not going to live up to it." I know of a young man that they still call him Peanut. He doesn't live up to that name. Amen. There's other names. There are names that they used to call me that it took a lot of fighting to overcome. Between brothers, okay. But these brothers hated him because they were jealous of him. Their anger increased when he was talking about God, that God was going to increase him. And when he started telling those dreams, not even his parents got away with it. Because even the sun and the moon, according to Joseph, someday we're going to bow to him. Isn't that amazing? Be careful what you say, everybody. I know somebody that one day that was saying that God is going to make me more than my teachers. As a matter of fact, I'm already wiser than my teachers. He showed how foolish he really was. Because a wise man doesn't say that. A wise man, a wise lady knows that if I am anything, it's because of God who is in me. Joseph's brothers eventually sold him out to a band of Ishmaelite traders for 20 pieces of silver. This is what they thought of Joseph. He was worth 10 pieces of silver less than what you would pay for a slave. Hey, everybody. Somebody said, "Don't take yourself too seriously. Learn to laugh at yourself. Join the crowd." Somebody's already laughing at you. Amen. Can you imagine thinking that everybody's going to bow to you and they didn't even pay the price of a slave for you? God had to remove some attitudes from Joseph before he could use them. Before he could increase him, he had to remove some attitudes. Oh, he had an attitude. Yeah, he did. Even after he had become prime minister of Egypt, he didn't mind the fact to see his brothers bowing before him, making them suffer. Hey, everybody, I think one of the worst statements you and I, as born-again believers, can make is, she really deserved that. He deserved that. That's one of the worst thoughts or statements that you can make. Because the Bible says, if you think you're strong, you better be careful, lest you fall. God is looking at us to learn to decrease first, and He will take care of increasing. They sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh in Egypt. But here's where it starts to get good. In the dungeon, it says, in the role of a slave, the Bible says, the Lord bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Get this, church. New Life, we need to get this year. The increase in your life might not begin by visible blessings in your life. It'll probably begin with seeing those that you are surrounded with being blessed. I have told the church, and I'll say it again, never underestimate who you are. You are the church. Wherever you are. And when you go to a restaurant, you pray God's blessing. And watch how God starts to fill the restaurant up if it was almost empty. Hallelujah. Amen. God has a way of blessing those around you first. And do you know why? Because God is testing my attitude. Can I rejoice with those that rejoice? Can I weep with those that weep? Can I mourn with those that mourn? Can I empathize? Hallelujah. Even if I didn't get that raise, if I didn't get that house, if I didn't get that car, can I rejoice with somebody else? Promotion comes from the Lord, the Bible says. Can I rejoice when God elevates my brother and my sister? When God is using them in a mighty way, and truly say, bless them even more, God, give them more. Now, understand this. Potiphar's eyes were open to know that the only reason he was being blessed was because Joseph was in the house. But there was more that God had to do in Joseph. So Potiphar's wife brought up a false accusation of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was a good-looking, well-built man. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And if nobody else acknowledged that, Potiphar's wife did. Can I stop long enough to say this, men? Work out, but not for the reason of showing those biceps. If your shirt gets tighter, get a bigger size. Because I'll tell you how Brother Trapani used to say it. Because whatever doesn't bag or sag will soon drag. And this lady lustfully acknowledged that Joseph was a hunk of a man. But Joseph would rather leave his coat behind than his integrity. And everybody likes compliments. Oh, come on. Come on. When they ask me, what can we buy you, as long as it's edible? I've got certificates galore for even just attending somewhere, and they don't even know if I learned or not. I just attended. And I said, what am I going to do with another one of these things? But the thing is, we do like compliments. But make sure to God be the glory. So privileges were removed. But it brought an increase to the jailer where he was and to the king's cupbearer. God was taking away. God was removing. God had his chisel out, and he was chiseling off all the rough edges off of Joseph because he wanted him to be more than just an influencer in the house of Potiphar. He wanted him to be more than just an influencer on TikTok. He wanted him to be more than just an influencer in the jail. He wanted to influence in a larger spectrum. So Joseph interprets two dreams. And even after that, it took 2 years. Everybody listen to me. Fruit may not come immediately. The blessing may not show up tomorrow. 2 years. That's why Paul says, be not weary in well-doing, that in due season you will reap if you don't faint. The blessing is on the way. I said the blessing is on the way. So the time came. Pharaoh has dreams. Nobody can interpret them. The cupbearer remembers that Joseph had interpreted the dream, and he remembered and told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh sends for him. Amen. So Joseph shows up, and the first thing that Joseph says, dreams belong and interpretations belong to the Lord. Ooh, God had been working on him. He never said before, guys, God gave me a dream. We were all out harvesting, and there was 12 sheaves. 11 of them were leaning on my sheaf, on me. He never said, God gave me another dream. But now, he says, dreams and interpretation belong to the Lord. Daniel said the same thing. when you understand that what you are is because who God is in you, God can begin to pour it out in you. Everything God eliminated in Joseph's life resulted in a divine increase in his life. He, from a slave to prime minister of Egypt, and that's a promotion, everybody. He didn't even have to work his way up the ladder. He was catapulted. It was like a huge slingshot where he took him from the floor to the top of the ladder. By this time, Joseph was already 30. 13 to 14 years process. And God wasn't done yet. He was not done yet. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, to talk a little bit about us. Chapter 1. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Anybody happy about that? Anybody have joy about that? But I've got news for you. Redemption is not everything. My brother had an uncle. And that uncle, he wanted just to be able to squeeze into heaven. He had a big beer belly, that's why I'm saying that. He says, as long as I squeeze into heaven. Okay, uncle. And then we had a song that we used to sing in Spanish. I'm going to arrive into heaven one day, and I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm going to cry in heaven. Because I did nothing for my king. And they used to bring a lot of boo-hoos in a lot of men, too. Ooh, and they were crying, they couldn't even finish the song. Because they're going to get to heaven, they couldn't have anything to brag about like all men brag about. Nada hice, nada hice. Por mi rey. I mean, there's some. I mean, there's some weeping in that song. So far from the truth of the word. Because as the way I read the Bible, he says the one that brought five more talents. He says, you enter into the joy of the Lord. Give him rulership over 10 cities. The one that brought two more that only had two, he says, give him two more. Give him four cities. He says, enter into the joy of the Lord. The one that kept the one. I'm saved. I'm saved. At least I didn't lose my salvation. I'm saved. I have nothing to show for it. I've got a wrong attitude about you, God. You're an austere man. You're a harsh, cruel master. So instead of doing anything in your kingdom, I know that you're a tough king. So I'm just going to save it and dig it in the ground. He put it and he kept it within himself. And the Lord said, you wicked and slothful servant. He wasn't out carousing. He wasn't out doing drugs. He wasn't cheating anybody. His attitude was wrong toward his Lord. Anybody here that thinks that God called you to be barren, you need Rachel's spirit. Give me children, else I die. We need Hannah's children. I'm going to die if you don't give me a son. I need a son. I want you to know something, that fruit is essential in the kingdom of God. I'm coming to the end, which means that it's going to take a little while, but I'm going to finish. John 15. This has got to be one of my favorite parables in the Bible. Why? I was 22 the last time I picked grapes. Amen. I am the vine, the true vine, Jesus said. And my Father, he's the farmer. Any branch in me that bears no fruit, that means that ceases to produce, he cuts, he takes away. And he repeatedly cleanses and prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. That, to the human mind, until you have been trained in why that's necessary, makes no sense. There is a statement that is so far from the truth, that is just accepting the status quo, which says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Has anybody heard that? I am so glad that my mom didn't stay there and continue to wash on a washboard. I'll tell you something. They couldn't break that washboard if they tried. I got to see my mom wash on rocks in a river. You couldn't break that washboard. I am so glad that eventually she got one of those washers, and then they would put it through these rollers to rinse it out. Some of us kids got our fingers smashed in that. And then all of a sudden, they got one that would go. That first one, they still have them. They're relics. Never broke. Hello. There are some things that we do in our life that quit producing fruit. There used to be testimony service. And in that testimony service, some told their tough history. In Spanish, it wasn't testimonio, it was tristemonio. And I remember some of those since I was about 5 or 6 years old. And they always used to end with a verse of scripture. And for a lot of them, it was the same one for 30 years. Oh, come on now. I'm not knocking it. I'm saying they should have grown over that Jesus lloró, Jesus wept, sir. I mean, verse. And I would like to end it with a verse of scripture. Jesus wept. That's it. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. He says, but there, you and I got to understand, the pruning allows for the fruit to become greater, to become sweeter, to become more abundant. It bears more excellent fruit. You're already clean and pruned. You're already saved. Because of the word I have given you. The the doctrine, the teachings that I have shared with you. But you need to do more than that. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from this vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is cast out like a broken branch and withers, dries up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and are burned. What does it mean? I'll read it. What does it mean to abide, to live in Christ? What does it mean to live in fellowship with Jesus? Well, let's read the verses. If you abide in me, it means if you remain vitally attached and united to me, my words abide in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask what you want, and it will be done for you. Come on now. John brought it out in chapter number 3 of his first epistle that when we don't ask, it's because we don't come to him. There's something not right. Oh, come on. If we abide in him, if we please him, if we do the things which are pleasing to him, then he says we've got confidence to ask what we will, and he answers. When you bear much fruit, he says, my Father is honored and glorified, and you prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love. If you obey me, then you are living in my love. As I have told you these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and my joy may be complete. So what things, and the praise team can start making their way up. Well, you've got to go back. Students of the Bible, don't just start off in the verse that you want to memorize. Go back to the context. Amen. Understand in what testament was it written? What book was it written? Why was that book written? To whom was it addressed? Go to the chapters before and the chapters after, and the verses before and the verses after. In chapter 13, you'll find that Jesus is giving his last discourse before his last sermon at the Lord's Supper. He tells them, everybody, I'm not going to be with you long, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I know the King James says comfortless, but the translation is as orphans. He says, and I'm going to tell you why. You should be happy about that. He says, because I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also eternally. Let me tell you why. Why you shouldn't be unhappy or lose your joy. He says, because I am promising you that as long as you obey my word, you're going to produce a lot of fruit. And you're going to do it through the promise of the Holy Ghost that I am going to give you. Oh, by the way, he says, let me explain it to you. He goes all the way through chapter 14 and then 16 of John. He says, for I am with you, but I will be in you. Ooh. Never alone. I don't have to worry because I'm never alone. Don't feel as orphans. Don't feel as if you have to make it on your own. That you, if you're going to amount to anything, you got to do it yourself. That's wrong. God didn't call us to be independent. He called us to be interdependent. The Holy Ghost, me and you, is the hope of glory. The Holy Ghost is my promise to have fellowship with you. The Holy Ghost is the promise that I will give you power to produce fruit. That's what my prayer has been. Glorify yourself in my life, Lord. Because verse 11 says, but verse number 8 says, in this is my Father glorified, that you bear abundant fruit and increase fruit in my life, Lord. Because that is what's going to bring the joy of the Lord into my life and complete my joy. Please stand. I want to learn from Rachel. Rachel is an example that even if it seems impossible, you know, there's fruit in a barren womb. With God, everything is possible. I want to learn from Joseph, because Joseph shows us that God has to remove attitudes in our lives to bring increase in and through our lives. But I want to learn from Jesus, because he tells us, if you want overflowing joy, do not be content to just being saved. Produce a lot of fruit. Verse 8, this is what brings glory to our Heavenly Father. Verse 11, this is what brings the joy of the Lord into my life. Lord, glorify yourself in me. I'm telling you, I believe that God was dealing with my life. God has been working in my life since July the 15th, 2020. When I first became infected with COVID. And when I thought that I had learned all there was to learn, God allowed for weakness to permeate my body. He was teaching me, it's not going to be in a body that's 100%. It's going to be in one that's 100% spirit, soul, and body, completely given over to me. I found out that it takes time. Hallelujah. And I pray that it doesn't take 14 years. I pray that he gives me credit for the 50 years that I've already been walking with him. But as long as it takes, whatever it takes, God, I want you to glorify yourself in my life. I want to produce more fruit for your glory. I want to pray that prayer. I want new life to rebuke cancer, to rebuke diabetes, high blood pressure, Parkinson's disease, you name it. Spine issues. I want new life to rebuke the devourer in the lives of God's people. Because when new life does that, the people around us are the first ones to be blessed. Is there somebody that you know? Are there children in your life? Are there grandchildren? Are there future spiritual children that God wants to increase them as well? It's God's promise to his church. But I told you at the beginning, I don't have the option of whether I want to be fruitful or not and remain in the kingdom. That's not the way it works. So I say, God, remove that ego. Remove, oh God, self and aggrandizement. Remove, oh Lord, from me attitudes that will hinder the flow of your spirit. I want more people to receive the Holy Ghost this year than ever. I want to see more healings than ever. I want to see more people in ministry than ever. I want to see more dissatisfied people with their current status in life than ever. I want to see people just striving, praying dangerous prayers. Oh, God. Their nations, oh God. The need fruit. Their neighborhoods. Their brothers and sisters. Family members. Whatever it takes, Lord. to draw closer to you. That's what I am willing to do today. If God is dealing with you, would you come to this altar? Come expecting God to sow a new seed in your life. Come expecting for God to fertilize the plant, to do some pruning. Come expecting to leave with a new attitude of fruitfulness. Come, come. Praise team, minister. Oh.